I don't know whether it was some of the readings or simply the idea of Bible reading, or if it was some of the studies we have done, but over the last week or so, I've had two or three songs going around in my head. And as I mentioned earlier, as I mentioned toward the end of last year, I wanted to take some time on the first Sunday of each month to take a look at some of the songs that we sing. Now, our main purpose in that is looking at some songs that we may have some difficulty with understanding. And I've received a couple of examples to look at, and we'll be looking at those. I have not received more than just the two, and they were actually two that I was going to think about, I was looking at doing anyway. So I take this opportunity to remind you again, if you have a song that you have a difficulty with, a phrase or its idea that we sing, please let me know, and we will spend some time looking at that. But I also wanted to spend time the first Sunday of the year, as I have done the past several years, reminding us of the importance of reading and studying Scripture. It is a time of year that is on the mind of many folks. A lot of folks that would never really consider reading the Bible that much, at the first part of the year, they get this idea, maybe I need to start reading my Bible. And so, it's an opportune time to talk about those things. And it just so happened that the songs that came to mind were songs that talked about this idea of the importance of the Bible and how it is useful for us in our daily life. In fact, if you look at that title, I'm sure some of y'all, especially some of you ladies that taught the little kids Bible class, y'all recognize that phrase right there. Because it comes from one of those songs that we sing with our young children in Bible class, and we teach to our own children at home, that emphasizes the idea of looking at the Bible. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to look at some thoughts on Bible reading, Bible study even, but we're going to look at it from the standpoint of some things that we see in some of the songs that we sing. Now, this first song that we're going to talk about, like I said, it's not a song that we sing regularly in our assembly, but it's a song that's familiar to us. A song that most of us have heard at some time or another. I don't know about in some of the other religions, other denominations of the world or whatever, whether they teach this to their children, but I've heard all kinds of children singing it from time to time. And so, this little children's song carries with it a lot of weight. Of course, we remember it's the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Now, I've heard after I grew up, extra verses added to that, other than the original verses that are the right ones. But they're great verses. I've also heard, I read and study and then obey. In fact, I think our children learned that part as well. Both of those phrases are important to what we're talking about this morning because we need to spend time in the Word of God. In fact, I am convinced that the only book I need is the Bible. When we read that phrase, I stand alone on the Word of God, that doesn't mean we're standing there lonely. It means that's the only thing we stand on. That is our foundation. And we do need to read and study and obey the Word of God, but we cannot do that if we're not spending time in the Word of God. The Bible needs our foundation. That's why I say that's the book for me. I'm sure we've all at some time or another heard one of those thoughts, maybe a meme, maybe it was growing up, you heard folks asking the question, if you were stranded on a desert island, what so many books would you want with you? I've also heard it with sandwiches and other kinds of things. But the one that stood out in my mind was books, because I spent a lot of time with books through my years. And every time I've heard that question, the first thing that comes to mind is the Bible. I may have mentioned it before, but I read a lot of Louis L'Amour Westerns. I read a lot of Westerns, but mostly his. But one of the things that he notes when he talks about the people traveling across the prairie is when they started gathering up their books to bring with them, almost every single one carried a Bible if they carried nothing else. We need to see the importance of the Bible, and it needs to be the book that matters the most to us. Paul told Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for education, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I know I added a word in there and I'm mixing up my versions. The Word of God is there for us. It is what we need for everything. That's why Paul had earlier told Timothy, do your best or be diligent to present yourself to God as one who is approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, but rightly handles the word of truth. In fact, as I was getting this lesson ready, one of the thoughts I had was maybe I just go to 2 Timothy and go through 2 Timothy and look at all the spots where Paul says, Timothy, make sure you read the word of God. And by the way, tell everybody else to read it too. I could have done a whole lesson on that. But I had this song that kept going through my head. And I think it's a song that reminds us of the usefulness of the Word of God. We got this little children's song that reminds us that it's what we need the most. Then we have this song called Give Me the Bible. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer lone in tempest toss. No storm can hide that radiance, peaceful beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible. All my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, lamp of life immortal. Hold up that splendor by the open grave. Show me the light from heaven's shining portal. Show me the glory gilding Jordan's way. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. That was written as a poem by Miss Priscilla J. Owens. Lives somewhere up in the Northeast, and I can get you some more information about who she is and what happened to her. But eventually was set to music, tuned for that song, to be used as a hymn of worship. And to us today, it is a hymn of reminder. It is one of the more common hymns among the songbooks that have been published among brethren especially. but it's been used by many denominations as well. Because this song reminds us that the Bible is the light that we need to get through this life. It speaks of and uses words that would describe being lost and in a storm. And it calls to mind Mark chapter 4. Verse 37 through 41, there was a great windstorm that arose while they were on the Sea of Galilee, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And the apostles woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke, rebuked the wind and the sea, said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The language of the first verse of this song reminds us that no matter what our storm, if Jesus is with us, we can weather that storm because he controls the storms. It calls for us to take the Bible because with it, we have the light to the way of safety. It, in a sense, can be our lighthouse when we're on a stormy sea. It can be the light in the window of home when we're out in the midst of a thunderstorm and trying to find safety. The Word of God will light our way no matter what trouble we may have. And when we are in our darkest hours, when we are tempest-tossed, whether by the physical struggles of this life or, more importantly, by the spiritual battles that we will find ourselves in, the Bible is that bright, shining light that we can always count on to show us the pathway to safety. It's there. Always the light to guide our way. Remember, Jesus, as the ending of that verse says, came to seek and save the lost. And ladies and gentlemen, we are the lost without the Bible. We need the Bible. So, give me the Bible. That's the book for me. When we're torn with sorrow, grief, when we're fearful regarding what's going on in our lives, the Bible is there to illuminate the way to healing. As we studied in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter said, "Do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening. But rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed." There are many things that can take place in our lives that are going to break our heart. We can lose love. We can find out that we are in the midst of a battle and struggle for our health because of various reasons. We can lose our financial stability. We can be surrounded by temptations that are constantly beating against us, like Lot was when he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. All of these things can cause us great sorrow and fear, grief, worry, and concern. But with the Bible, we know that Christ is nearby. And if Christ is nearby, we can overcome any trial. The Hebrew writer tells us we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. We find elsewhere in the book of Hebrews that we are instructed to set our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the strength that we need to overcome the trials and tribulations that we will deal with in our race. We lay aside the weights that beset us, and we look to Christ. Where do we see Christ? We see Him in the Word. Give me the Bible, because it puts Christ in my life. It puts Christ right beside me. And I especially need it in my times of sorrow and fear. We're stumbling along through the dangers and difficulties of life. We're trying to walk a pathway that is covered over with boulders and rocks that make it hard to walk. Roots popping up out of nowhere as we walk through the forest of this world. The Bible is there to light the pathway to peace, overcoming that struggle. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness. And the God who said that has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you want your steps enlightened? Do you want to be able to see how to walk the pathway of life? Then get your nose in the Bible. Read it. Commit it to memory. Make it a part of who you are. Paul wrote to the Ephesian brethren, he said, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You want your heart enlightened? Then you read the story of Jesus. Give me the Bible, for it will enlighten my steps, and I can see the pathway home, because the narrow gate is where I want to enter. Because the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those that enter by it are many. The gate that is narrow. The way that is hard. the way that leads to life eternal. Those who find it are few. If we're not looking for the steps of Jesus in His Word, we will miss the narrow way. You ever been driving down the interstate, headed somewhere, and all of a sudden realized, wait, I was supposed to turn 3 miles back. Probably because you weren't paying attention to the instructions you had at the time you got to that point. I know that's why I do it. You started talking. I mean, I have to be honest. I've missed the turn to my house a time or two because I get started talking and then realize, oh, wait, I'm supposed to turn back. We need constant reminder of the path that we are walking. And it is illuminated for us in the Word of God. When we come to the end of our way, when we're walking to our grave, when we're close enough that we can see that our life is coming to an end, give me the Bible. I want it there beside me. I want it in my heart. I want it in my mind. Because it lights my way home. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. I realize none of us know the day of our death, the time of our death. None of us can look at the calendar and say, okay, I'm going to see this day, but I probably won't see this one. But each day we get a little bit closer to having it in view. Metaphorically speaking, I can now see the place where my grave may be. I'm close enough. I know it's right up there. I'm not in my 20s, in my teens, where I think I don't have one somewhere. I'm not in my 30s, where I begin to think, okay, everything's great and I'm at my best and I've got a long time left until it shows up. I'm not in my 40s, I'm not in my 50s. Well, I got a few more days in my 50s technically. And I hope that I've got another couple of decades. Maybe 4 decades. I always told my kids I want to live to be 100. I don't know that I put forth sufficient effort to be able to live to 100, but I always told my kids I want to live to 100. But even if that's the case, if I do live to be 100, I'm halfway there. I'm on the downhill side. I can see that it's there. And when I look at the fact that there is an end coming to my life, I want God's Word with me. I want to know that Jesus took the path before I did and has prepared the pathway for me so that I do not need to fear death. Paul told Titus, for the sake of the faith, he was an apostle and servant of God in Christ. For the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began and at the proper time manifested in His Word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. I've seen several things lately from some individuals who have the idea that there is no God. And we're just here. And then we're not. And we just accidentally happened. Folks, that kind of thinking scares me. It puts me in mind of there being no purpose or reason. And one of the questions we ask ourselves constantly is why? Why am I here? Why am I experiencing this? Why did this happen? God's Word tells me why. Sometimes it tells me because, Dan, you were just a little bit stupid. That's why. Sometimes it tells me, Dan, the why? Because this world is filled with wickedness. It's just a wicked world. But the comforting thing is it tells me, Dan, because there's something after this life. There's something more important than here and now. And God has shown you the way there. And that way is revealed in the Bible. It lights our way home. It will guide us. It shines a very vivid path to the gates of heaven. You know, we read just a moment ago that the way to heaven is narrow. It is difficult. It is hard. But it is well illuminated. And it is easy to find if you look for it. If you're not looking for it, you'll miss it. But it's easy to find if you'll look for it. And it's easy to follow if you'll follow the instructions of the Word of God. The Word of God is a light that will guide us. Another one of the thoughts that I had in my mind in doing this lesson about reading the Bible was just starting at Psalm 119, verse 1, and going all the way through verse 175, I think it is. Because if there ever was an ode to the Word of God, that's what Psalm 119 is. And over and over in that passage, we are reminded by the psalmist that it lights our way. It provides a path. Remember your word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction that your promise gives me life. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. Another one of the 8 verse sections of Psalm 119. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep my steps according to your promise. And let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears, because people do not keep your law. The Word of God is a bright and shining light that shows us the way home. It draws us to God. It always has, and it always will. But let me tie this with another idea. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word existed before the world. John goes on to tell us in that chapter that that Word became flesh. Beginning in verse 9, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but of God. The Word, that is the light of men, the light of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John connects the Word, the life, with Christ. Not just says they are similar or that they work together. He says Jesus, who was born on earth, God's Son, is the Word. So give me the Bible. Words of Jesus spoken. Lamp of light. Life immortal. To enlighten my steps. To heal my broken heart. To bring joy in my sadness. And to help me as I walk the last mile of the way. So read your Bible. Read it all. So you can get a big picture of what God is saying and has done for us. Read it every day so that it will remain fresh in your mind while you go about your business in this world. Read it slowly so you can think through what each passage is teaching. Read it in small sections so you can get the message that was intended by each writer. Read it topically. Read it chronologically. Read it as a series of separate writings on a common theme. When you read it with prayer. Pray before you read, after you read, and while you read. Pray for understanding, for wisdom, for knowledge. Read it aloud. Read it alone. Read it together. Read it in silence. Read it when you're overwhelmed to help you find peace. Read it when you're confused so you can find the way. Read it when you're in sorrow, when you're in grief, when you're fearful, so you can find hope. Read it when you're down and depressed, so you can find joy. Read your Bible. I have found the perfect Bible reading plan. I didn't come up with it myself. Honestly, I found it on the internet. The perfect Bible reading plan. Set aside a time to read the Bible. Read the Bible during that time. There's your perfect Bible reading plan. Anybody can follow that plan. You don't have to have a checklist. You don't have to have it divided out into perfect sections so you're reading the exact same amount every time. You don't have to decide, am I going to read in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, or am I going to read them both together? Do I want a long reading or a short reading? You set aside a time to read the Bible, and then pick your Bible up and read it during that time. Are there some plans in place already out there that can help you with keeping it orderly? Yes. I can point you to some 5-day plans, some weekend plans, some 7-day plans, some yearly plans, some 90-day plans, some 30-day plans, some 6-month plans. I've even got a plan I did myself with the help of a lot of resources. There may even be a copy of it in the little basket back there in the hallway. Read your Bible. I changed that, but I changed it. One more song. This song reminds us of one of the reasons we should have the Bible so deeply ingrained in our hearts. Because you're a Bible to your neighbor. I'm a Bible to my coworkers. We're all Bibles to our descendants. And I use that word descendants because it's not just our children, it's our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. What do they see when they look at me? Am I so filled with the Word of God that they can see Him when they look at me? Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in His way. He has no tongue but our tongues to tell them how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other things than His? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongues are speaking of things His life would spurn? How can we hope to help Him and welcome His return? Another poem with some deep thoughts. And I read that now to emphasize that what we need to do is constantly be looking at ourselves. Am I living the Word? And if not, could one of the reasons I'm not living the Word be because I'm not reading the Word? Or is it just that I'm not applying what I know is there? Only you can answer those questions. Only you can determine and recognize in your heart whether you are living the Word of God All we can do is urge you, if you find out you are not, to set it right. If you're not a child of God, become one. You read the Word of God, you study the Word of God, you realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He died on Calvary's cross to pay the price for your sins, then get right with God. Confess your belief in Jesus, turn away from serving self and sin, and give your life wholly over to the Lord. Be buried in obedient baptism to have your sins washed away. If you've done that in the past and you look this morning and you find you've just not been diligent in the Word, just not been working hard to make your calling and election sure, you've let yourself be distracted by the world and let sin in your life, we urge you to correct. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will. In fact, He tells us through John, He will wipe away our sins as if they've never been. Read your Bible. And then take what you read, compare it to your heart, and make the proper adjustments to be pleasing in the sight of God. We can assist you this morning. Time and opportunity is yours. Why not come? Always stand and sing for your encouragement.